mentioned, but this next session focuses on the state reporting. So we know we have the state reports that have to be filed if you're court clerks or judges who do your own reporting, and it's a topic that all of us need to be aware of. But our presenter today is Rhonda Keene. She is the court administrator for the City of Brenham Municipal Court. She's been with the City of Brenham since 1996. She is a level 3 certified municipal court clerk, which has made it to the highest level. Where's your you don't have your little thing.
No.
Oh, you just have your faculty ribbon, yeah. Not your level 3. She's also a member of the Texas Court Clerks Association and the Texas Municipal Courts Association. So let's welcome Rhonda Keene.
Thank you. Thanks for that nice introduction. It's a good sized group for us today. We have judges. We have clerks. How many of you in here are responsible for some part of the state reporting, whether it be to the Office of Court Administration, DPS, or... what's the other department we're going to talk about? Can you tell I need a nap? Office of Court Administration, State Comptroller. How could I forget that one with the money, with the dollars? We're going to talk about that. We're going to also talk about DPS this afternoon. So we have a few short 50 minutes to get all of these areas in. I will tell you there's many a times we don't finish because we kind of spend a lot of time up front here talking about the Office of Court Administration and some of the changes that we have coming and have to put into play September 1st. So having said that, let's jump right in. There should be materials in your materials. You should have forms that we're going to look at. You should have this Office of Court Administration report in there, so you might want to get that area. I guess it's behind the PowerPoint, I'm assuming. Back there is what? Page 15 it starts. So you may want to, because you might want to be looking at that more than you look at the PowerPoint. And they're incorporated into the PowerPoint as well. Again, we're going to start with Office of Court Administration. The sound sounds horrible, so I'm assuming you're going to adjust it for me. Thank you. OCA, our monthly report that is due. We are going to look at the changes that are coming to us September 1st. I'm going to give you a little bit of history on OCA, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these first few slides, but... the Office of Court Administration is a state agency that was established in 1977, so it's been around quite a while, works under the direction of the Supreme Court. It uses data to study judicial procedures. This report, believe it or not, is judge-centered. It's not clerk-centered. It wants to know what the judges are doing and how often you're doing it. The report also, let me just talk about this for a little bit. It's used to expedite court business, used to better administer justice. This report I print out on a regular basis. You can print it out. If you've never been to their website page, how many of you enter in your report via the internet? Okay, good. So a lot of you are. Okay. So you can go and print reports for your city. You can print reports for other cities. You can compare your city to other cities. If you have the same population, if you have the same caseload, you can go out there and you can say, okay, Brenham has the same caseload that my court has. I'm going to go compare my court to Brenham. And you can actually print out that report and look at their statistics, other cities' statistics. I print my report out once a year to give to administration, to the city council. I print the previous year's report. All 12 months, you can go print it. You get a total year's total number of what you're doing. And I give the previous year and the current year so that they can see, okay, did we have any changes in cases filed or collections? Everything's about dollars. Things of that nature. So I use that report quite often. It's very helpful in what I do. Legal requirements. The Judicial Council may require a clerk or other court official as an official duty to comply with reasonable requirements for supplying statistics. And I'm not going to read the whole screen. It is mandatory that we send this in. It's due by when? What day is it due by? Does anybody know? The 20th of the month. So we are in June. We have May. We have until June 20th to send in the May report. Okay? If you are not entering in your report online, it's very easy. All you need is internet access. I'll give you a number here a little bit later down the road for you to call and to get access to their website. I would suggest you start sending it in entering it in online yourself, especially after we look at some of the changes that are coming. If we don't report these statistics monthly to OCA, it is considered a violation of ethics or violation of not doing our job, basically. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. I don't need to preach to you guys, but just know that it is important. A lot of times it gets put on the back burner because we have a gazillion and one other things to do, but make it a priority and just know it needs to be entered by the 20th of every month. And here just basically tells us municipal judges are the ones required to do this, shall submit a summary level court activity report each month to OCA, not later than 20 days following the end of the month reported. Can the clerk, is that a duty or a task that the judge can delegate to the clerk? Yes, absolutely. Entities that use this report, believe it or not, you think, oh, who's looking at this? Who's looking at these statistics? Well, quite honestly, the state legislature looks at it. The state comptroller's office looks at this report. Governor's office. So you have a couple of state agencies here. Why do you think they're looking at this report? What do you think they obtain from our statistics? Anybody have a guess? What does it tell them? What's one of the things it tells them? How much money they're getting. Tells them how many cases. So when we have a legislative year and they decide to, I don't know, let's say something crazy like tack on 10 cents as a court cost, and they take 10 cents times however many cases are filed, what does that tell them? How much dollars they're going to get? Or a 15-cent court cost. That's my pet peeve. We won't talk about that. We'll talk about that later. Local judges may also look at it, city councils, state and local auditors, and of course you may have the media that gets a hold of some of these numbers, the statistics. TMCEC, we know, uses it because every seminar we go to, at the front of your books, there's probably a roster of who's here, who's attending this conference, and it gives all your numbers, your statistics. That's where they get those numbers from, is this report. Of course, you can compare workloads. Kind of already talked about this in court performance, again, with other cities, or you can compare your numbers over time. Now we're going to look at the report. And in on the screen, it's going to be really hard to read because when we put this report into the PowerPoint, it just came out really blurry. So you should have a copy of the report in your materials, and I would suggest looking at that because you'll be able to read it. It'll be much easier to follow along if you see it looks like this or like this. Can everybody see that? Okay, if you're the one that's doing this report now, you know that report is how long? Page-wise, what's the report right now? 1.5 pages? Yeah. Well, it's going to be 3 full pages. 3 full pages come September 1st. So we're basically doubling the size of the report. And you're going to see we're going to look at specific categories here in just a second. The first part of that report, the current report, breaks the number of violations that we have issued each month into 4 categories: non-parking traffic, parking traffic, non-traffic misdemeanor state law, non-traffic misdemeanor city ordinance. That was our 4 categories. Well, come September 1st, we have this many categories. We still have non-parking traffic, parking traffic, city ordinance, penal code, other state law, non-traffic misdemeanor city ordinance, and civil administrative cases. So instead of having 4, we are now going to have 6 categories to report. This is what the front page of the report looks like. You should have that in your materials as well. And then you may be able to see here, again, like I said, it was really hard. We have categories in red. I don't know if you can tell the difference between black and red. All the red categories are new categories. that were added to the report. So, the first page says criminal section. Let me just go over some of these here. We have total cases pending, okay? Current report, they wanted just one number. What was the total cases? This says pending. So that means how many cases are pending in our court? Well, not only do we have to report that number, but we also have to break that down into two categories. We have active cases, inactive cases. Active cases are cases that we have control over. We can move them from status to status. So, for instance, we have right now when somebody gets a ticket, maybe you have an initial appearance, an arraignment appearance, but then they come in and they say, I want to take driving safety course, and they make that request. So now we moved them from this status to driving safety course. So active cases are cases that we can move around, okay? Inactive cases are cases we don't have control over. Maybe it's a case that went to warrant. So we can't move that warrant status or move that case out of warrant status until they come in and do something. We don't have control over that. Now we're waiting on the individual. So you're going to have to report each month your pending cases that are active, pending cases that are inactive. Yeah. Oh, it gets better. This is just the beginning. It's so much better. All other cases added, there's a category for that. Oh, and there's also cases reactivated. So if you had something that was inactive and you moved it, then you're going to have to report that as well, that they've been reactivated. Dispositions prior to court appearance, you have uncontested dispositions. Dismissed by prosecution, that is a new category. Before it was just dismissals. Now they want to know how many are being recommended. Of course, we know prosecutors can't just dismiss a case. They've got to recommend it, and the judge has to approve it. So how many were recommended dismissal by prosecutors? Dispositions at trial, we still have convictions, and it breaks it down to a guilty plea or nolo by the court or by jury. Acquittals, they want to know how many acquittals were by the court and how many were by jury. So how many cases were acquitted at a bench trial? How many cases were acquitted at a jury trial? You still have your compliance dismissals, driving safety course deferred. We have after teen court, after tobacco awareness course, after treatment for chemical dependency, after proof of insurance, all other transportation code dismissals. Then we have total cases disposed. You see a category for cases placed on inactive status. Total cases pending at the end of the month. How many active cases do you have pending? How many inactive cases do you have pending? How many show cause hearings did you hold? Cases appealed after a trial, without a trial. So you've got two categories there on appeals. Then we have a whole civil administrative section, and pretty much all of this is new, so all of it is in red, but it breaks down the categories in the same manner, active, inactive cases, cases reactivated. You have under dispositions, you have uncontested civil fines or penalties, default judgments, agreed judgments, trial hearing by judge, hearing officer, trial by jury, dismissed for want of prosecution. And then you've got an all other dispositions category. So all of that is new. Again, cases placed on inactive status and total cases pending at the end of the month and cases appealed. Then we have the juvenile minor activity report. And if you're familiar with that little section, you have your transportation code cases filed for juveniles, non-driving alcohol, alcoholic beverage code cases, driving under the influence cases. Well, now we have a new category that we've never checked before, and that is drug paraphernalia cases. So how many juveniles or minors have been charged with drug paraphernalia? Tobacco cases filed, we've had that, failed to attend school, education code, violation of curfew, and then you have your all other non-traffic fine-only cases. Okay, then we also have transferred to juvenile court, which we have that on our current report, except now they want it broken up into two categories. How many were transferred to juvenile court that were mandatory transfers, and how many were discretionary transfers by the judge? Accused of contempt and referred to juvenile court, held in contempt by criminal court, and then you've got your juvenile statement, magistrate warnings, that's the same, detention hearings, orders for non-secure custody issued. So they want to know now, how many orders are we issuing for non-secure custody? That's new. And then, of course, your parent contributing to non-attendant cases. So you can see here there's a few red categories on the juvenile's minor activity report. Then we have the additional activities page. And you've got your magistrate warnings, and it breaks it down to Class C misdemeanors, A and B misdemeanors, and felonies. So that, again, that's that judge-centered part where they want to know how many magistrate warnings is the judge doing, and what are they for? How many for Class Cs, As, Bs, and felonies? Arrest warrants issued. Right now we have one line that says, what's the total number of arrest warrants that we've issued for the month? Well, they want that broken down. We're going to have Class Cs, Class A's, B's, misdemeanors, and then felonies. And then we also have the category for how many CAPIUS Profine warrants are being issued. So they're going to be tracking that as well. Another new category, we have our search warrants, but another new category, warrants for fire, health, and code inspections filed. So if your judge is doing those types of warrants, then you'll have to track that as well. Examining trials conducted, emergency mental health hearings, we've had that, magistrate's orders for emergency protection issued, orders for ignition interlock devices issued, and then it's got in all other magistrate's orders issued requiring conditions for release on bond. Driver's license denials, revocations, and suspension hearings, if your judge does those, you'll need to track it. Disposition of stolen property hearings held. And this is something new to my court. We just started doing these probably in the last 2 years. We've had a lot of property hearings. So now that is something new that we will have to track. That has not been tracked before. Peace bond hearings held. Cases in which fine and court costs satisfied by community service. That's a new category, and it's broken up into two sections. How much is partial satisfaction on a case by community service? And how much is full satisfaction? They want to know the number of cases, and then if you look a little bit further down, we'll get that into a moment, but they also want to know the amount that's being done in community service. Cases in which fine and court costs are satisfied by jail credit. So you can see, now the state wants to know how much is being done in community service, what's our total, how many cases does this affect, and what is being done in jail credit? How many people are staying in jail and what are you giving them? How much is being given out in jail credit? Cases in which fine and court costs are waived for indigency. How many indigent hearings are you holding and what is that total to? Amount of fines and court costs. Okay, we said waived. Okay, so they want to know how many cases are being waived for indigency, and then they want to know the amount that equaled each month in indigency. Fines, court costs, and other amounts collected. How much was kept by the city? How much is given to the state? And then what was your total? So right now we're just reporting the total amount collected for the month. So come September 1st, that will be broken down into two categories. So you can see they're looking at jail credit, community service, indigency hearings, as well as what our collections are. Okay. I can just see future legislation coming down the pike if we're all across the board. I can just see it. Now, the good news is, well, I'm not sure there's good news. There really is no good news. I don't mean to be so negative. Let me get to here. OCA is here to help. I guess that's some good news. They want you to be compliant. Before anybody goes into a big, huge panic, I will tell you that OCA, this is the one time, because I often think that in, you know, when legislation happens, why didn't DPS, you know, DPS knew about this, that, and the other. Why didn't they start planning for this a year in advance? Well, I have to say one good thing about OCA is they knew that these changes were coming, and they've been planning for this for 2 years now. You know, normally, I'm sure you can all will agree with me, we have legislation passed, September 1st comes, and it goes into effect, and then 6 months down the road, we're still waiting for DPS to assign a code to some new violation. Like, I still think we don't have a code for the use of cell phones in a school zone. You know, how hard is it to come up with four little numbers and assign a code to it so we can all report it the same way? So OCA has known about this. They have been making plans, okay? They sent out a letter to a lot of our cities 2 years ago that told us about these changes and said, hey, what software company are you using? How are you reporting this report now? Are you doing it electronically? Are you doing it manually? How are you coming up with these numbers? We want to know who you're working with. So if you had a software company, you gave them the name of your software company. Maybe if it was somebody that does your software in-house, you have your own IT department in-house, you gave that person's name. They invited all these people to a meeting 2 years or so ago to let the developers know about these changes. So, for example, I have Encode in my court. Okay, so Encode has been working on these changes as well as all the other software companies out there to get these changes into place to start using it. And like with Encode, I know that they're testing it right now, and they're probably going to have it out there for us ready to use before September 1st gets here. Okay, so if you're not sure, because maybe you use somebody in-house or you're not sure if your software knows about these changes, the first thing I would do when you get back from this class is pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, I was in this class. I just want to know what is the status, okay? If you have Encode, they're testing it. It'll be sent out to us. TMCEC has offered several webinars. Have any of you sat through one of the webinars? Okay, we have a couple. There is, and I should have asked Katie, there may be two or three more webinars yet to come this summer. If you can get into one of the webinars, I would suggest you do that. Again, just need to have internet access. It's real easy to set up and do it. But Sandra Mabbitt from the Office of Court Administration actually leads the webinars. And I've sat through two of them. And one was kind of early on in the year, and then one was back in the springtime, March or April. And so she kind of had given us updates on some of the software companies, and she kind of goes into a little bit more depth of the different categories and stuff than what we can do in this class. So if you can do that webinar, suggest you do it. It's only going to help. It's not going to hurt. You can also ask questions while you're there. So if you have a question that comes up, you can ask, and she'll answer it right then and there. Also, you can call their help desk number to get set up one to do the report online to enter it in using their website. You just need to be set up with a username and a password. So if you are not doing that now and you want to do that, then I would suggest calling the help desk. Also, if you have any questions, you can call about the changes in that. You can call either one of those numbers, and they should be able to help you. Okay? Or there's her email address as well. Any questions? Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Could you kind of relate how you feel like this? If you could tell us your story, it might help us what we're
going to look at. Okay, sure. His question is if I could help relate my experiences or how I feel that this is going to impact my court. Fortunately for me, I have the software company. So if you have a software company, you know, a lot of this is going to be there. You're going to press the button at the end of the month, and it's going to pull the numbers that you need in. That's what it does now for those of us that are already using it. But I was not set up for more of the judge-specific duties like the magistrate warnings and the issuing or signing of search warrants, those kinds of things for the class A, B misdemeanors and the felony cases. A lot of that we still tracked manually because in my court, my municipal judges, there's two towns with municipal courts. There's Brenham, which is like 15,000 in population, and then we have a really small town with about 300 in population. Then we have four Justice of the Peace courts. Well, most of the JPs do all of that other stuff. My judges rarely ever sign a search warrant or sign or do magistrates. They don't take turns at the local jail. My two judges go see all the Class C people because the jail is right there in town. The JPs handle the other stuff. So for me, it's been very fortunate for me that I haven't had to do that, you know, and worry about tracking it all that often. But all having said that, we've always tracked it manually. Okay. Now there's this law that if you're a municipal judge that's an attorney and you have a county where there's no county court at law or something, that you can sign the blood warrants. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, my municipal judge falls into that category. So he does sign blood warrants every now and then. So I have to track all that manually. That's going to be a problem for me with some of those judge-specific duties that we don't normally have to deal with. Now, Encode has told me that there is a way that they've written it into their program where we'll be able to go to a tab and enter in those things as they happen. So I won't have to say, you know, get out the piece of paper and the pencil and make the little marks on it. I can go in and enter that as it happens, and then when I run my report at the end of the month, it's going to pull those numbers. But there's some things there you will have to think about. You know, you may have to think about your processes and start thinking about this now. Start getting onto this radar with this new report. For, you know, it may be different categories. Maybe it's juveniles, things like that. So, you know, you definitely want to start thinking about it now. You can't be too prepared. You don't want to wait until September 1st and go, okay, now I remember I got to do something with this OCA report. Okay? What was it? Because I'm going to tell you, September 1st, what else happens? All these other new laws. We got legislative here. So we're going to be crazy enough the way it is. Okay? Don't wait until then. If you can get with your software company or whoever handles that for you, and you can start using that report now, Sandra Mabbitt said in the last webinar, go ahead and start sending it in that away. You can't enter it online yet, because when you go online, the old form, the current form is still there, but she did say you can fax it into them. So if you're ready at that point where you can start using this, use it now. Don't wait till September 1. Any other questions? Everybody's absorbing all that, right? Yes, ma'am. Yes, good point. Her comment is you definitely, if you have more than one clerk, obviously, other than you in your office, you want to get on the same page so that you're all entering the information the same way, using the same status codes, things of that nature. Another, here a while back, it's been a few years ago, when they had the category that says how many dispositions are by judge and by jury and with just a plea of guilty or no contest. Well, a lot of us didn't know that when an individual actually comes in and appears before the judge for arraignment, we should be marking that as by judge. I was marking those for just bench trials, not when they made appearances for arraignment. So, there's three other clerks besides me, so there's four of us that enter that in. And so we had to all get on the same page and say, okay, if they come in for arraignment, you should be marking it as by judge. If they have a bench trial, by judge. If they just mail in their fine with a plea of guilty or no contest, then you're going to enter it that way. So, yes, that's a very good point. Be sure you all get on the same page. And, again, another good reason why you should not wait until September 1st to do this. Start talking about this stuff now. Okay? Anything else that anybody has to add? Because if not, we're going to move on. Because we have money to talk about. We have something better. Okay, State Comptroller's Office. Yes. Which form do you use for contempt? It's not 81 because if it's DIC 15 is usually always for a suspension of driver's license for alcohol or tobacco. Mostly that's what you're going to use that form. 81 is the one and that you would use if they fail to... 81, fail to pay or fail to satisfy judgment, or fail to appear. That's 15. That's the DIC 15. You really don't say it's for contempt. It's just you're reporting that they failed to complete the alcohol awareness or community service. And a lot of times contempt's not used with that. But yeah, it is considered a contempt. It's the 15 form. Yes. DIC 15 is used for if the judge suspends the license. And I think we're going to look at that. We'll look at that and we'll get to that. Yes. You could be sending it in twice on a case when they don't do what they're supposed to do. We're going to look at that though. Okay. We're going to begin by talking about quarterly court cost, and when do we report the quarterly court cost to the state? Who in here does the quarterly court cost? Okay. All right. Quarterly court costs are sent in by the last day of the month following the quarter. So, June is the end of our quarter. We will have until July 30th, to send in the quarterly court cost. Okay. If you're late sending it in, if you don't timely file, meaning by the end of the month following the quarter, then you forfeit your city's handling fees that they get to keep. And we're going to look at that in just a second. Okay, interest and handling fees. Cities may maintain court costs and fees in an interest-bearing account and keep the interest if reported timely in a timely fashion. If timely, we get to keep, and I'm going to jump forward. The form should be in your materials if you want to look at it there. I'm such a right-handed person. Let me try this from this side. Okay. If you're familiar with the report, categories 1 through 5 are your court costs, but it's broken down into when that case was filed. So if you collect on an old case from 2001, then it would possibly be on number 2 where that amount of money is going to show up, okay? Then we have jury reimbursement fee, indigent defense fee, moving violation, that's our lovely little 10-cent fee, and we have the state traffic fine, which is the $30, right? Okay, if we file timely, we get to keep 10% of category 1 through 8. Okay, so the total amount that you collect each quarter, the total amount goes right here in this first column. If we're going to be sending it in before the end of the month following the quarter, we get to keep 10%. Your 10% is written on column 2. So you take this minus this, what the city gets to keep, and this is your total that you're going to end up sending in to the state. Make sense? Everybody follow? On the $30 state traffic fine, we get to keep 5%. So you see the 5% right there? So this column, the city gets to keep. So yes, part of the court cost that gets sent into the state, if we file timely, cities do get to keep a portion of that. Down here in Section B, these are costs that we collect in which we don't get to keep any portion of that fine or fee. We have to send it all into the state. So you have peace officer fees. If citation's issued by a DPS trooper, you have to send part of that into the state, and it tells you right here. Failure to appear or pay fines. This is the $20 of your $30 omnibase fee. $20 goes to the state, so that goes right here on number 11. Motor carrier weight violations, if you handle those in your city, that goes on number 12. Time payment fees, half of the $25 time payment fee goes to the state. That's reported on number 13. Driving record fees, if you're a judge and you say, pay us the $10 to get your driving record, is there anybody in here that does that? Everybody makes the defendant do it? Okay. But if you did that and you collected the $10 fee for the driving record, you would send that in on number 14. And then your judicial support fee. This is the $6 fee in which $5.40 goes to the state and the city gets to keep 60 cents. That $5.40 fee is reported right here. Okay? So that's your report. That's how you fill it out. That's how you determine 10% or 5% that your city gets to keep. Any questions about that? Clear as mud. Right? Okay. Let me go back just a moment to this slide. Just going to mention real quick, if you don't collect all of a fine, I get a ticket. I come in and I beg the judge. I'm so poor because I had my nails done and my hair highlighted, and I can't pay my fine this month. So I need an extension, and the judge says, okay, pay me $50 right now. That $50 is going to be prorated between all of your court costs, including your technology fee, your security fee, if you collect the juvenile case manager fee. Those are all considered court costs, right? So that partial payment gets prorated among all the costs. And obviously, if I don't show back up and that's the only payment you took from me, then whatever those amounts are, whatever that prorated amount, you're going to send in on your next quarterly report. So your city doesn't have to pay the full amount of the court cost until the individual actually pays it. Okay? Of course, we know state gets its money first. You can't apply a partial payment to your fine first or a special expense fee. It has to go to court costs, right? Okay. Let's move forward. Yes. Question is, if the judge takes a partial payment and you allow the defendant to do community service for the court cost, when you go and apply the community service, it's going to take it from the fine or an expense fee first. Yes, jail layout credit and community service works that way. Because if the judge says, okay, the court cost is $102.10, go do community service for that. And they do, and they come back, and he says, okay, now pay the $50 fine. You can't do that. Because whatever money is collected is going to go to court costs first. So if you're going to, and I always, to me, it's just easier, if you're going to give them community service, give it to them for the whole amount that they owe, if you can. Now, some people have already made payments, and then something happens, they lose their job, whatever the reason may be, and now we have community service in the mix. As a clerk or a judge, don't ever apply money to the fine or a special expense fee, something that the city keeps first.
How do you apply the money to the court cost?
If you have a software system, is that
Encode.
Okay, yeah. Encode is set up to automatically apply it to the fees first. And anything that is layout credit or community service is going to be applied to the fine or an expense fee first. It depends on how you apply it. Okay? So if you this individual starts out by making a partial payment and they say, I'm going to pay it, and they pay $75. Okay, that gets prorated between your court costs. Now they come in and they say, I lost my job, and the judge gives them community service. At that point, that's okay because the money that's already applied is there, and you're going to send in that portion. But whatever happens now will be applied as credit, as community service. So it will first apply it to the fine and fee, and then it will apply it to the rest, the balance of the court cost and that's fine. It's just you can't ever tell the system to apply it to the fine or an expense fee first. You've got to make sure court costs are paid. Just like if they start out doing community service, I don't have a job right now, okay, you go do community service for this $150 fine. But 2 months down the road, judge, I've got a job now, I want to start paying on this. That's fine. Whatever court community service they did is going to be applied to the fine and that first. Does that make sense? Kind of, yeah, I know. Again, clear as mud, right? Yeah. Just ENCODE is really good about applying it the right way, so you shouldn't have any problems there. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Payments. Yes, it's called non-cash payments. Is when you have community service or layout. That's where you're going to apply that. Yes. Question over here? No? Okay. There's only three instances in which cities can collect fees for certain purposes: security fee, technology fee, and juvenile case manager fee. You have to have ordinances for each one of these in order to for your city to collect them, for your court to collect them. Okay? And this happens on a regular basis. I taught a court cost class last year or the year before, and I would get phone calls from certain cities saying, my city council wants us to collect $25 on every driving safety course that we process. Can we do that? No. Because statute says $10 administrative fee. They cannot make up their own court cost for certain things. These are the only three things that we're authorized to tack on to court cost if we have that ordinance into place. And what I always tell people, if you can't find it in the statute book, you can't collect it, okay? Unauthorized fees are considered unjust enrichment. Not going to spend a whole lot of time. Y'all know that. Child safety seat court cost. 15-cent child safety seat court cost. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on this slide because it may go away this legislature. They saw that they have not collected enough money to even buy one car seat. So it's probably going to go away. Here's the report if you are doing it. If you've been collecting it, you do still need to send in the fees to the state, the 15-cent fees. Here's the form for that. If you have questions, just call me when y'all are back at your office and we'll go over it. Child safety seat fines. We do send in half of the fines collected on child safety seat violations. This is the one that's sent in once a year at the end of your fiscal year, okay? Here's what the form looks like, okay? Excess highway fines, anybody less than 5,000 in population? So you do, you're sending this in, right? If your city reaches 30% of your previous year's budget, then you have to look at sending in this report. And this is where, if you exceed 30% of your previous year's budget in your fines and fees that you've collected, okay, so you'd have to collect a lot of money to exceed 30% of your city's total previous year's budget, then you can only keep all but $1 of the fine at that point. So just know if you're less than 5,000, you may have to send in your report. You should be tracking this on a yearly basis. At some point, you should look at this and say, okay, where are we at with collections? So that you kind of, you know, keep in the back of your mind, I'm getting close or I'm nowhere near close. And should you send it in even though it's zero? No. You only start sending this in once that you have to. So if, you know, for 9 months, you're fine on your collections, and then boom, all of a sudden, now you've collected way more than 30% of your previous year's budget, total city budget, then you've got to start sending it in. You have been. If you send it in, it's probably not the end of the world. The comptroller woke up this year, and I'm sure most of you are going to know this. Springtime, they sent out this form to a lot of cities. Did y'all get it? And there was a lot of clerks going, I've never seen this form before, because that you don't get to 30% of your previous total city's budget. That's, you know, your total city's budget is probably a lot, and you're not going to collect that in fines or fees, right? There's contact information for the comptroller. Not going to spend a whole lot of time. Let's talk about DPS real quick, the third and final state agency. Traffic convictions can be sent in using any one of these formats. You can email your traffic convictions. You can send them in a report form. You can use the DR18. You can send them in on diskette. DPS would love for you to send them in electronically, but just know if you do that, there is a certain format that you need to use to do that. How many of you have seen this book in your court? Most of you. Some, I always have some that goes, I've never seen that book. Okay. It's called the Uniform Traffic Conviction Report, 2006. Yes, that's the last time. This is the most up-to-date book out there. If you don't have this in your court, get it. It has every violation that DPS has a code assigned to it in it. Also gives you the legal reference. They will send it to you now electronically. They won't send you the book anymore. If you can get it electronically, that's what you want, because this is in Excel, and you can go out there and do Control F and go look up a violation really quick and get the statute reference. I use that all the time. It also tells you, if you want to send in your info electronically, see if I can find it here, the format it should be in for electronic submissions. It's got the correction form. If you accidentally send in a conviction that was maybe dismissed with deferral or something, it's got the correction form in it. So try to get this electronically if you can. Just call DPS and tell them that you want that, and they'll email it to you. Great thing to have. Not going to spend time on that. If you want to email your traffic convictions, this is the email address. It's in your materials. If you're mailing it in, this is the address, the department you should be sending it to. One thing you should know, we are supposed to be sending in our traffic convictions every 7 days, not 30 days anymore, every 7 days. The reason for that, they want CDL convictions faster than they want those of us that don't have a CDL. But like if you have ENCODE, you can't separate and say, just give me the CDL convictions. You've got to run all the convictions. So I started sending mine in every 7 days, once a week. If you have questions, here's some phone numbers you can go to. I want to get to this other. Okay, DIC 15 form. This is what the form looks like. This is what you use if you're sending in your alcoholic beverage violations on minors. This is the form we use to report the conviction. You send it in if it was deferred. You put on here, minor in possession of alcohol / deferred. If it wasn't deferred and the judge is suspending the license for 30 days, then you're going to put minor in possession of alcohol, and you're going to count 11 days from the day that the judge is signing the order suspending the DL. Whatever that 11th day is the beginning date. Count 30 days, and there's your ending date. You can fax these in or you can mail them in. Yes, ma'am. Really? No, I have not been. We're still sending ours in. Are you sending it to the right department?
Yeah.
To DIC? To Driver Improvement and Control?
We were sending it to there, and they called us and said,
I'll check with them, because a couple of years ago, when I first started teaching the DPS reporting to the new clerks, we're not sending in this form. We were sending it in on our traffic convictions. And so that was one of the things that they said was get the word out to use the form and not send it in electronically. So now I have not.
I don't want to talk about DPS, but I get
well.
Every time I call.
How many of us get a different answer every time we call DPS? I know. That's why I was like, are you sure you're sending it to the right department? I have not heard that. And a lot of you still sending it this form in by fax or by mail? Yeah. So I don't know what to say on that. When I teach the new clerks the DPS reporting, I always have a few clerks that come up and they're like, you need to tell DPS this and y'all need to change that. And I'm like, I don't work for DPS. I would have a lot more gray hair if I worked for DPS. Question. He was. So they are. So somebody is paying attention to the convictions. Well, that's amazing. Right. Right. And because I have a college and a junior college in our town. So, it was all the end of school parties. So we just had like 15 at once there on one. Yeah, exactly. Judge, just line them up. Just line them up and let's go. So, So I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess if they tell you that, that's fine. I'll try to double check on that and find out. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes you never know when you're going to get a call. The rest of the slides are pretty self-explanatory. There's only two. I know we're out of time. If when you get back to your court, you have questions about any of the materials, because I know we go over this really fast for 50 minutes, please don't hesitate to call me. My contact info is here. If I don't know the answer, I'll try to pick up the phone and call somebody to find out the answer, and we can work through it together. But I've enjoyed it. Y'all have been a great group. This is my last class with judges and clerks, and I have really enjoyed teaching judges and clerks this year, so it's been a really good opportunity for me. So thank y'all. Thanks. See, now I told you you was going to be glad you stayed in here. Yes, I should bring Advil or Tylenol to pass out, right?